this morning are still going to be looking at our foundational areas of teaching. And we have a teaching that we're doing called Lining Up with God's Word to Receive Healing. And so we're lining up with God's Word to receive healing. And we're laying a foundation. And the first foundation, really, we could sort of say the first course that we're laying is sort of like laying block. But we're still laying on the first course. And that is the fact of believing. We have to believe. We're looking at things that you must believe. There's things you have to believe. There's certain ways that you have to believe. There's no other way to do it. You're going to have to believe if you're going to receive healing from God. And we're laying the foundation, and we get to the place that understand that it's God's will for us to be healed. In other words, really, it's God's will for everybody to be healed, just like it's God's will for everybody to be saved. There's no such thing as it's God's will for people to be saved, but it's not God's will for people to be healed. You know, sometimes He does, sometimes He doesn't. No one could ever believe God. It serves zero purpose to ever pray and ask God about healing if you don't believe that He wants you well. I mean, you have no basis to pray, to ask Him to do something. You don't have any basis for it. And we need to understand that. You must believe that it's God's will for you to be well and for others. I would never tell a person, well, it ain't God's will for you to be well. It's always God's will. Sometimes people do things in their life that keep them from being healed, but it wasn't because of God's will. It's not because of God's will. It's always God's will to heal people. The same way, it's God's will. He said, none should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's the will of God. So if anybody would end up in hell, we wouldn't stop and say, you know, God wanted them there. Well, if anybody ended up sick, we can never say that it was God wanted that. God didn't want it. God wants people well. We looked at the things of dealing with the areas of the actions of Jesus last week. We talked to old time about the actions of Jesus, that Jesus Christ's actions, which He said Himself, proved that it was God's will, because He said His action, He didn't do anything unless the Father did it. So, and we found that never at any time did anybody come to Jesus and Jesus asked the Father and pray to find out if it was the Father's will to heal the person. Jesus automatically healed people who came to Him. Just automatically healed them. And so, you have to have that in yourself and see yourself as being well. Now we're going to talk this morning about, we'll deal with the end of this first foundational area that we're teaching on this first foundational area, and we're still dealing with the area of being God's will for us to be healed. We have to know, we must know it's God's will for us to be healed, because if we don't, it is impossible, totally impossible to be in faith. Totally impossible. And so, I mean, just think about from this standpoint. If you did not believe it was God's will to heal everybody, how could you possibly believe that it would be God's will to heal you? How could you do that? You'd have to find out. Well, if He doesn't want to heal everybody, well, maybe I'm in the category that's the no, you don't get healed category. How do I know? So I mean, I'm going to have to find out. I have to believe it's God's will. It's just like salvation. How could anybody believe to ever get born again if they were told God don't save some people? How could they ever do it? Well, they couldn't. You couldn't ever come to Him in faith, because you'd first have to find out if it's His will to save you. Then when you found that out, then if you found that He was willing to do that, well, then you could stand in faith for that. So you have to believe, and that's why when the gospel is preached for people to be saved, they always say, but it's God's will for all to be saved. You know, He's willing that none should perish. They always tell them, oh, yeah, yeah, God wants you saved. Well, what about healing? Well, now that's not for everybody. That's, you know, say, well, you know, well, if God healed everybody, then why don't I get healed? Well, because you believe crazy. That's why. But you know the idea, well, if it's God's will, if God wants it to happen, it will happen. If God don't want it to happen, it don't happen. And so we need to get away from those kinds of doctrines. You need to get yourself settled. You know, it's not, we're laying this foundation concerning healing, but it's anything in the Bible. Anything that you want to believe God for, you have to know it's for you. You have to know that God has declared that He would give it to you. You have to know that, or you can't stand in faith with it. Healing is really a biggie, and you know, don't ever get in the areas to minimize healing, because healing, if healing was in the forefront of Jesus' ministry, then it should be in the forefront of the ministry of the church, always. It always should be in the forefront. If it was in his ministry, it should be in the forefront of the ministry of the church. And so, if we, the church today, you know, as Kenneth Hagin said, mostly majors in the minors. He said, if anything of minor importance, that's what they're doing, and that's what, he said, anything of major importance, they know nothing about it. And really, well, people, generally the church world's like that. Anything of major importance, they don't have a clue. And I would surely think that healing would be a major importance among people, you know. To me, it's nice not being sick. I don't know about you. It's nice not to feel bad. And God has a plan. Well, we're going to look at an area of this in this foundation. The last area we're going to look at, we're going to look at healing in the plan of redemption. And because healing is in that area. Our redemption was accomplished. It was accomplished through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how it was accomplished. And so we need to understand this. We talk about redemption. There was really a redemption that Israel had that was under the old covenant. Now, they weren't redeemed like we are, but God would forgive their sin. He would heal them and do all these things he would do for them because of the redemption that that was under that covenant. Now, we're under a fuller redemption because Jesus Christ fulfilled the redemption, the type and shadow of redemption that they had. He fulfilled it. And so we have the full redemption. Now, we haven't received all the fullness of redemption because we haven't got our new body yet. But everything else we got. We got everything up to the new body. So, but this redemption there is. And so, through scriptures, we're going to look at redemption. And we're going to find that redemption was not for one, for our spiritual salvation, but it was also for our physical healing. Redemption always covered those areas. You know, if our salvation was just from a spiritual side, if it was, then there's no Christian has any right to ask God for any help in the physical at all. Now, you go to churches and they'll tell you, well, you know, they'll always throw this stuff out and say these things. All that was spiritual. All this is spiritual. Yet those same people get into trouble and problems and want help. They ask God to help them out of their physical problems. You know, whether they know it or not, that's their defeat. It's because they don't believe that they're lying and cheating, but they are. They're going around preaching, oh, everything's spiritual, but when they get in physical problems, they keep asking God to get them out. Now, hold, if all this stuff is just from the spiritual side, if salvation was from the spiritual side and didn't affect the physical, then you ain't got no right to be asking God about nothing. Then the people who preach it, you know, we just barely get by down here and wait someday to get to heaven, well, that would be right then, wouldn't it? Dear Lord, I mean, is that any kind of good salvation, a God? I mean, you know, we have all them crazy scriptures about God being our fortress and strength. We're more than conquerors. <You know? laughs> You know, all this kind of stuff. Well, when is it? When does this stuff happen? But we're going to look at redemption. So if redemption is for all, then we're going to find out then healing's for all. If redemption is for all, then we're going to find that healing's for all. It has to be. Now, I want to look at a scripture, and we've used this scripture before, these two scriptures. It was Jesus ministering in Matthew, the 8th chapter. Go to Matthew, the 8th chapter. It's one of the things is to do, I always liked it from John G. Lake's standpoint. John G. Lake always, he said, he did this. He said, Jesus is the final authority. He said, when he looked in Scripture, and if Jesus had something to say about something, a certain thing, he always took Jesus as the final authority over, he said, any writer or anything else. Jesus is always the final authority. And understand that Jesus is the Word, so he's the final authority. Now, speaking of Jesus, it's written in Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 16 says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Now listen, he says, he cast out demons, he healed all that were sick. This is what he did. So everybody, now he said, now what's the basis that it was done? Is verse 17. Now look, on this basis, he did it. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now they use the reference from Isaiah. In other words, Jesus did what he did on the basis of what Isaiah said. Well, where did Isaiah say this? Where did he say it? Well, we're going to go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. We go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 50. Now, Isaiah 53, you will not find one evangelical preacher who would ever say that Isaiah 53 is not the redemptive chapter spoken by a prophet Isaiah speaking of what Jesus was going to do. There's nobody ever say it. Now, look, if over there the reference, this reference that we had read in Matthew 8 came out from Matthew 8:17 was the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah. So let's go over. In other words, the fulfillment of what Isaiah said. What did Isaiah say? Now I want you, we're going to read this. Isaiah 53, we're going to start at verse 1, and it says, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, everybody knows this. This is speaking of Jesus. This is speaking when God came in the flesh into the earth. Jesus Christ came into the earth. Now it says, he's despised and rejected by man. Now I want you to look what it says here. I'm reading from the New King James, and the King James talks the same thing. It says, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. It says, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Now I want you to see something. It says, a man of sorrows. Now, you can look up in the Greek this word that was used here as sorrows, even in the column in my Bible. Now, the column of my Bible, this is no kind of reference Bible. It is a general King James Bible. You will find New King James, but you'll find this same reference stuff is in their King James Version or any of them. And you go through in Bibles, and it amazes me that the New King James translated the word, put the word sorrows there, because it don't mean it at all. They just followed suit. And I thoroughly believe this. I believe that lots of times translators of the Bible, and a lot of them have been people who don't believe in healing and don't believe in those things, and I believe they translate according to their own beliefs rather than what the Word says. Because in here it says on the inside here, that word sorrows, you know what it literally that means? Pains. In fact, any good translation has it, and loads of them do. That's what it's translated. And then, so he said sorrows. Now he was, sorrows of verse 3. He says, and it says, and acquainted with griefs. And I look down here in verse 3, and you know what it literally means? And you look, and you'll find this word is translated through other parts of the Old Testament. It means sickness. It neither means sorrows, nor does it mean griefs. So, what's this speaking about here? It's speaking about people, okay, pains and sicknesses. He was acquainted. Well, sure, he did get acquainted with it with the earth, didn't he? There was loads of it here. It don't mean he had it, but he was acquainted. He was here ministering to people. He was acquainted with this. This is what's going on. Now, understand, if Jesus was a man and had flesh, I will guarantee you this, sickness wanted to try to come on him. It wanted to try. He was acquainted with this stuff going in the earth. Jesus walked by faith in the earth. Now, so verse 4 starts and says, surely he has borne our griefs. Then again, there's that word griefs. And it really means, literally, surely he has borne our griefs. It is surely he has borne, literally, sicknesses. Surely he has borne our sicknesses. That's the literal translation. That's what it should say. Now understand, it has to mean that, because how could we read in Matthew 8 during the time of healing, quote Isaiah, if it ain't talking about literal sickness? Then Matthew lied about Jesus. Understand this. If the New Testament says that Scripture's talking about a certain thing, then that's what it's talking about. I don't care what people say it says in the Old Covenant. Here, we know this. Because of what Matthew said, we know for sure that what's being talked about in Isaiah 53 has to do with the sickness and disease being taken of men. We know it does because Matthew said that's what it was talking about. You know, Paul wrote over, and was writing about, supporting a minister, you know, somebody teaching the word. And he said, well, the scripture says about, muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. He said this. He said, do you think God was talking about oxen? We know under the Old Covenant, that's what they thought it was. Well, it got clarified in the New Testament. Paul said he ain't talking about oxen, he's talking about people. The guy doing, in other words, somebody doing the works of God ought to get the pay, not the guy sitting home not doing anything. The guy who's working ought to get the pay. He's talking about people. See, that's why you got to clarify things about the New Covenant. The New Covenant is not a type and shadow. It's the real thing. The Old Testament was types and shadows of things. So if the New Testament tells us something means a certain thing, then it does. You'll find with Jesus. Look through the times that Jesus quoted certain scriptures and he said about what they meant. If you look over in the other covenant, the Old Covenant don't seem to be talking that at all. But Jesus Christ said it was talking about a certain thing. Well, if he said it was, then that's it. That's the last say on the thing. Jesus is telling us what it was talking about. So here we have this reference, and it tells us, we're talking, he bore our grief. It says, again, he carried our sorrows. That's the word pains. It says he did this. Now it's speaking of what he's going to do in redemption. What's he going to do in redemption? He's going to carry our sickness and our pains. That's what he's going to do. That's what Jesus Christ is going to do. In other words, we're told here, and the Jews were told ahead of time that Jesus was going to do this, that he was going to do this in redemption. So, it says, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Then it says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. See, people say, oh, that's spiritual. He's not talking about spiritual. He's talking about sickness and pains. And we know for sure that that's what he was talking about, because Isaiah's reference is in Matthew 8, and Matthew wrote Jesus' healing people was in reference to Isaiah 53. Was it spiritual? You see, you know, you almost got to be crazy to try to interpret things. I mean, how could he reference physical healing as coming out of this redemption story and then turn around and say, oh, no, it wasn't for that. No. Well, see, in redemption, healing is in redemption. Healing, Jesus Christ took the sins of man, but also took the sicknesses and diseases. You know, just like with Israel, when God brought Israel out of Egypt, Egypt was a type of the land of sin. When he brought them out, they went through the Red Sea, the Bible says was a type of baptism. It was like being baptized into Christ is what it was. It was being born again. They were a type and a shadow when they come out. What do they do when they get out on the other side? The first thing God talks about is healing them, and gave them a healing covenant. The healing of the body. And told him that they'd follow him, do what he said. He'd take away all the diseases that were over in Egypt. All that stuff they wouldn't get. It's the first thing redemption brought. He baptized them into Christ, gave them a healing covenant. The first thing he did. And see, You see it constantly in redemption. There is no covenant ever made by God to man that didn't have healing in it. Never once. Never one time. There's no such covenant. It's always in it. See, people don't have it. They don't have it because people don't believe the Bible. And then you know, it's, oh, we believe the Word of God. Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you, you've got to read it and look at it. It's in there. It's there. So, we look at this thing and we see what was carried out here. So, he was wounded for what? For our transgressions. In other words, for our sin. So, in other words, Jesus died for the sin of men, but it says also he was chastised and our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. So Jesus took our sins and took our sickness on the cross. Well, we see with Isaiah's quote from Matthew 18 says, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. I know this. I know the translators who translated this Bible are 100% wrong in the way they translate it. I know. Because if they would have read the Bible, the New Testament, and believed it, they couldn't have translated it like that. Because they would have saw, number one, they had translated that same word, sickness and pains, through the other parts of the Old Testament. And they would have went to the New Testament and saw, well, it's talking about sickness and disease. It's talking about infirmities and sickness. So I know with 100%, no doubt, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to pray 2 seconds to see if they were right or Matthew was right. Matthew's right. And so you can know this. Your covenant, just like God would forgive you your sins, you know, I mean, we go over in the areas and we talk about people use all 1 John 1:9. You know, if you sin, you know, every Christian, you know, basically believes that if you sin, God will forgive you of your sin. If you're a Christian, God will forgive you. Well, will he heal you? Well, sure, he'd heal you just like he'd forgive you your sin. Well, you know, you don't know how I messed up. Well, I messed up and he'd forgive my sin. Well, if I messed up, he'll heal me too. Now, I wasn't going to go to it, but let's just go since I mentioned that. I want to look here. Let me go back over here to. I want to go back over to James, where James wrote. Okay. Now, look at James said. Now look here what James said. You'll see it's right in line with this. James said, James 5:13. Listen to this. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any among you cheerful? Let him sing a song. Now, verse 14. Is any among you sick? Is he talking? You think he's talking spiritual? You think he's talking something spiritual? Listen, we said, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, listen to what it says. The prayer of faith. Now see, they use the word save here. In this here, again, they translate the word save. It says save the sick. If you look up with that word save there, that save, the same word is translated many times when Jesus healed people, healed. He'll save the sick. Look, the Lord will what? Raise him up. So we know it's talking about healing. He ain't talking about something. He's talking about healing. He says, and if he's committed any sin, he'll forgive him. That's redemption. Healing and redemption. In other words, if a guy's sick because he's been in sin, he said, I'll forgive him his sin. I'll forgive him his sin to heal him. This is what we're going to do. Wow, they run together. Healing, redemption, healing and forgiveness of sin. It's redemption. That's what it is. So nobody has to stay sick. Kenneth Hagin, I heard him say this a number of times. They don't put it in much of his stuff anymore. They took it out because, you know, I think I don't know why. Well, they have this kissing people, you know, all the time. Christianity, it don't speak the truth. He used to say this. He used to say, it's not a sin to be sick, but it's a sin to stay sick. Well, I want you to just think of the standpoint. wouldn't be a, in a sense, isn't it a sin not to accept salvation? You know, for a Christian not to accept healing is an absolutely stupid, foolish, and idiot. It's sin. Accept it. Accept healing. It belongs to you. Accept it. Accept the fact. Don't ever question it. Don't ever question it. Healing belongs to you. You know, say a person would say, well, you know, God didn't want you hell. Well, I mean, think about it. Then it would be a sin to go to the doctor. It would absolutely be a sin to take any kind of medication or do anything. If you ate any kind of food that you felt would help you get well, that'd be a sin because you were supposed to stay sick. So don't eat stuff that would help you out. I mean, there is such ludicrous thinking out here. It's in total insanity. And treat it as insanity. Don't ever treat it that there's a good reason for any of it. There's no good reason for any of it. It's the foolishness of men following the religions of men. It's not following the Bible or God. It's following the religions of men. And men sure make up religion as they go along. Be totally convinced. God wants you well. Always. Here, if a person sinned, they could still get healed. God said, I'll forgive you. Come on, get over and get healed. So it's like, man, let's do it, okay? So when we look at these things, we always want to walk in light of the truth of the Word of God concerning healing. And so the things that Isaiah said here, Isaiah spoke, and he said, we know here from what Isaiah said, Isaiah was talking about sickness and disease. He was talking about pain. So whatever it is that we go through, any kind of malady or that causes any kind of discomforts or anything like that, it is God's plan for us to be well. That is His plan for you and me. That's His plan. It is in redemption in itself. We see, you know, from a healing standpoint, in Psalms 103, said, bless the Lord, in starting verse 1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. See, it's a talk of redemption. Who redeems what? Your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, I see Christians all the time, you know, they, oh yeah, God wants to help me. They'll take verse 4, but you can't have that other one before. Oh yeah, he'll forgive your sin, but sick, well, that he ain't talking about sick. Well, then he's not going to redeem you from destruction either, because that could be a physical thing. Hold it. These are just spiritual. Oh, well, this is for the Jews. Well, I found out that wasn't true. Because if that was for the Jews, then Isaiah 53 is for the Jews, and there is no salvation for the Gentile. Isaiah 53, you can't have that for Jew and Gentile and have healing not for Jew and Gentile. Impossible. Because you'd have to preach a lie to have that kind of a doctrine. It is for you. So God's plan, without a question, in redemption, God forgave your sin. And He did. Christians fight over that. You know, have a tough time in their life, you know, accepting God's forgiveness. And we have to learn to accept God's forgiveness. We also have to learn to accept God's healing into our lives. So redemption. So it's clear that Jesus didn't only provide salvation from the standpoint that we look at the forgiveness of sin, the new birth, which we talk about being born again. But He also provided healing. The Bible tells us He bought our body. If salvation is only spiritual, then there will not be a new body. It's an impossibility. Then He didn't buy your body, did He? Then all that's a lie. I mean, we have to throw that out because, hold it, He's only talking about spiritual. The Bible said we paid a price for our body. It says, glorify God in your body. Well, hold on, my body's not paid for. How am I going to glorify God in my body if it ain't paid for? Because it ain't supposed to. Nothing's supposed to work in my body. Salvation ain't supposed to work in the body. Why would Paul do all them writing about bringing our body under, taking off the old man, putting the new man on? Well, if you could just do that naturally, well, then you didn't need no salvation to do that, did you? If salvation was only a spiritual thing and didn't help the outer man, well, then what was all that talk for? God wasn't going to help you do none of that anyhow, was He? He wasn't going to help you get straightened out at all anyway. He's just going to leave you a mess. But see, you got to, and really, rightly divide the word of truth. Paul told Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth. Why? Because you can wrongly divide the word of truth. Many people wrongly divide the word. Don't wrongly divide it. You know, we talked about on Sunday, we're supposed to think on what's pure, what's good, what's right, what's true. All those things we're supposed to think on. In other words, then if I'd meditate on sickness and disease, I'd be thinking on something good because I'm supposed to have that. Then if I would think on being well, that'd be an evil thing, wouldn't it? Because God might want me sick. How could you think on all this kind of good stuff if God wanted you to have some bad stuff? See, it don't make sense. It's no sense in what they preach. I mean, it's totally ludicrous what they preach. And deal with it with that. Have enough sense. And I'll tell you, when I hear ministers or anybody talk that stuff, I just think it is folly. Man, I just, you know, you might as well sit down and try to tell me a dirty joke. Because it ain't no better than that. It's stupid reasoning, stupid stuff. It's men's ideas, but it's not the Bible. So, if salvation, which we say it's for all, then we know that healing is for all. Now, I want to use a scripture of the Lord. I wasn't going to generally use it this, but this morning while I was going over this again, it came to me to use this scripture. Let's go over to Luke, the fifth chapter. Because I want to show you this in Luke, the fifth chapter. We had mentioned this before, but it's good to read it. You know, sometimes, you know, it's, you know, sometimes maybe we only mention scriptures on things, but it is good lots of times for people to see with their eyes what different things are saying. You see it with your own eyes. In Luke, the fifth chapter, I'm going to start up at verse 17. It says, "Now it happened on the certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." So now listen to this. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. That's what it says here. The power of the Lord was present to heal. But I want you to understand this. We're going to find out that we know this as we read along. It wasn't something that people felt because people didn't even know it. We're going to find only one person got healed. See, the fact that the power of the Lord is present to heal does not mean that there's a feeling there or somebody has goosebumps or somebody, you know. The power of the Lord, why? It's present to heal. Why? Jesus, you know, every place Jesus went, Jesus never went any place that the power of the Lord wasn't present to heal. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Every place he went. Could God tell you and me to go lay hands on the sick and they'd recover if the power of the Lord ain't present to heal? Well, then I couldn't do it, could I? The power of the Lord is always present. Why isn't it in manifestation? Well, we find out Jesus is trying to bring it into manifestation because it says he's teaching them. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Understand, faith is about the unseen realm. It ain't about the seen realm and the feeling realm. So the power of the Lord was present. Now listen to what he says. He says, "Then behold, men brought out brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd," he says, "they went on the rooftop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus." Now it says, "When he saw their faith, he said to the man, 'Your sins are forgiven you.'" Now listen. First of all, Jesus said he could see their faith. He could see it. See, faith is visible. Faith is in something in the unseen realm. Let me ask you this. If we were sitting right here in a room and there's a person with us sitting here, and now talking about the unseen realm, and they believe they see a ghost, and we would sit here and they'd say, "I see a ghost," and we'd all look and don't see nothing. And they'd say, "Well, right over there, right," you know, and how would we know that they believe they see a ghost? How would we know? by what they do. Faith can be seen. When I'm operating, at least understand this, when I'm operating and believing God that what I can't see is true, my actions still are acting like what I can't see is actually happening. If a person says, I believe there's a ghost over there, or he goes, oh, I believe there's a ghost over there. Oh, okay, what was that you said again? Well, we wouldn't at all consider they saw a thing. Would we? You see, faith can be seen. Your actions prove what you... People can see whether you believe what you say by what you do. If you believe God is real, then you're going to act like God is real, and people are going to know that you believe God's real. As long as you don't act like God's real, people ain't going to pay much attention to what you say. They ain't going to believe much of you, see? Jesus said he could see their faith. He could see. You know, they believed that that man got in the presence of Jesus, he's going to get healed. Why? It was obvious. They went up and tore the roof off. There was other sick people there probably wanted healed. They had, and you know what? They were believing that Jesus could heal them, but they weren't acting like if they got in his presence, he could. They didn't do nothing. They just sat there. They all just sat there. We read over in James, what did it say a person that was sick supposed to do when they come to church? Wait till the pastor gives an altar call, and if he don't? See, this one thing is, I know many times people don't have faith because their actions. They don't act like they do. Now, there are some people at times come up to me and say, hey, I'd like to be prayed for today. I'm having a problem. That's good. I'm always glad that happens because I know that person's believing something's going to happen. We're going to do a certain thing. They're coming and asking for it because they're expecting something. The people just sit and wait to see if something's going to happen. They ain't doing nothing. They aren't acting like healing could take place and I could get well. They'll just go home sick. Well, maybe it wasn't God's will today. It didn't have nothing to do with God's will. It had to do with you. That was your will that causes it to happen. It's your will. See, if we did in church what the Bible says to do, then anybody that got sick and wanted to pray for it, they'd come and ask. You know? Man, God, we got to coach people up to the front. They'll sit around and wait. You just got to keep saying, now, come on, if anybody out there, come on, if anybody out there, try to get them up. That's why not much happens. Faithlessness. They say they believe, but their actions prove differently. How did Jesus know that these people had faith? He saw. He saw what they did. He saw what they did. They did something. In other words, they proved it. They so believed they went up on the roof and tore the roof off the house. My God, you do something like that today. My words, I mean, somebody, a church was crowded and they couldn't get in, tore the roof off to get in. I mean, most ministers would be so mad they'd cuss the person before they ever got down. What do you guys think you're doing? Did Jesus say, you guys shouldn't be doing this? Jesus was, you know, here to heal people, not worry about roofs. We're so worried about our stuff. It's good preaching anyhow. But look, we're reading this thing, and this is one thing. You need the setting of what all is going on here, because... So these people are here. They're here. All these guys show up. All these Pharisees show up from all the places to listen to Jesus teach. So, now Jesus made the statement we read. It says, when he saw their faith, verse 20, it says, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. Now look at this. What did the guy would come to faith for? Did he come for faith to get his sins forgiven? Is that what he came for? Is that why they brought him? No, that's what they brought him for. They didn't bring him to get his sins forgiven. What did they do? They brought him to be healed. Jesus did this. Jesus forgave their sin, his sin. Now I want you to think about it. Why? Because healing and forgiveness of sin are in the same covenant. They're in the same covenant. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. What did it say? Call for the elders of the church. They anoint you with oil. Prayer of faith will heal the sick. The Lord will raise them up. If they've committed any sin, it shall be forgiven. Jesus is just following. You understand what James preached was no different. It wasn't some kind of new thing that started. The Jews did that. The Jews anointed. Go read Jesus. When the disciples were sent out, you go over and read, the disciples were anointing people with oil and praying for them for sickness. The Bible says so in the New Testament. That was in the before Jesus died and raised from the dead. When he sent the 12 out, it says they went out anointing people with oil. Anointing people with oil for healing was old covenant. It wasn't new covenant. We carried it over. It's used. What's it for? It's just a sign of the Holy Ghost. It's, oil don't do nothing. Oil ain't doing a thing. The oil is just a sign, just like we take communion and we eat bread and drink the wine. What's that for? It's just bread and it's just juice. That's all it is. But what it represents is what's important to us. It's about our faith. It's something we can't see with the eye that we believe is so. And so we see that here. So Jesus said, now it says in verse 21, it said, the scribes and the Pharisees, it says, began to reason saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? Now listen to verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Listen what he says. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you or to rise up and walk? Which is the easiest to do? Now listen, he said, which one is easier to do? Now, I used to teach Life of Christ. I did it for 5 years in a Bible school. I taught Life of Christ for 5 years. It was one of the class, I had three different classes I taught. And that was one of them. And teaching on the life of Christ, I taught Jesus Christ about him being a healer and stuff and things. And I always used this in here. And I always had these scriptures in here. And it was always one of the questions. I had these worksheets I'd put out, and on the worksheets was about this incident. And 99% of every student that ever handed in the worksheet always answered incorrectly. I would ask, is it easier to get saved, be born again, or healed? And consistently, they would always say, it's easier to get saved. That's why Christians can't get healed. It's what they believe. We've taught people you can instantly get born again. You can't instantly get healed. you ain't going to have that happen. You can't instantly receive your healing. You can instantly receive your salvation. But you got to work at this healing thing. Now Jesus asked, which one of the two, what's it easier? He says, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or, you know, rise up? Which is easier? Then he makes this statement. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. Now how's Jesus? He said, so you know, I'm going to show you how you know that I have power to forgive sin. I'm going to show you how you can know that. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, take up your bed and walk. How did Jesus prove that he had power to forgive sin? He healed. He healed. Healing is the proof that Jesus forgives sin. That's why when a true evangelist will be anointed with power, and especially, you won't find an evangelist who walks in the Spirit who doesn't have a healing anointing. They'll have a specific healing anointing. A true evangelist will. Anybody who calls themselves an evangelist, now Billy Graham is an evangelist, but he don't walk in the fullness of it because he don't walk in any healing anointing. They always will because healing is it shows people God's mercy and love and shows them that He would forgive their sin. You let a person get healed by God and you know what? They'll accept Jesus. You know, yeah, He will forgive me. Look what a good thing He did for me. Healing is one of that's why they call it a dinner bell. Healing is the dinner bell to come to salvation. That's why you got, these big crusades. You got Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn, you know, I watched the thing, you know, Benny Hinn was over in India a few years ago. He was over in India and held huge crusades over there. Just healing like crazy. Well, when they'd do altar calls, man, people would come to the droves to accept Christ. Well, Jesus Christ is magnified through healing. You know why they find out their God don't heal? And we got in America, we preach a Christianity of a God don't heal. We preach a pagan God. America preaches a pagan God that won't heal. They preach it like the pagans, you can't get healed by your God, and you come to ours, who's the real one, and he won't heal you too. Yes, he will. He'll heal people. Why? Healing is proof. Jesus said, I'm going to prove to you that I have power to forgive sin. I'm going to heal him. Jesus said, that's the proof. Well, I ain't going to say it's anything else. I don't care what some other preacher says or somebody else says. I'm going with Jesus. I'm going to be like John G. Lake. Jesus is the last word on this thing. Jesus Christ is the last word. I'm not going to accept what anybody else says on the subject. I'm not going to do it. Healing is proof of Jesus Christ. This is why so many Christians live under the weight of sin. Because they become Christians, but they live under the weight of sin because they mess up and do things, and they have a hard time believing God will forgive them for it. And so they live under the weight of sin and under the weight of guilt. If they understood the healing and the healing power of God, I'm going to tell you what, if God withheld from us healing because we mess up, dear Lord, we'd never get nothing. I've always thought it was the strangest thing, and I used to tell the students this in Bible school. I used to always tell them this. If God, I said, I'd never had God ever turn me down on healing. I've never had him tell me, no, Ed, you buzzard, you messed up too much. You know, you scumbag, what's wrong with you? What do you think you're going to get anything for? I said, there's things that I know that I messed up on, but I said, well, as soon as I get in line with the Word of God and trust, just get myself back over in faith with God, I get healed. I said, as soon as I get in line with God, I get it. I said, you know what? And I said, it's always been proof to me of his goodness and his mercy toward me that he'd forgive me. I said, because when I ask him to, he always blesses me, always does. He's always good toward me. So I know, I said, I've lived my Christian life and I know, I said, I've never got healed because of my goodness or the things I've done. And you know, you'll get people say, well, he does that. God heals you because you're a minister. That's the stupidest thing you ever heard in the world. Oh, okay, you could just go out here, you know, be a pagan, but if you're a minister, you'll get, God will bless you. I mean, it's so stupid. You know, God has these certain people he does good things for. You know, well, you know, Billy Graham gets something nice from God, but you can't. You know, look at all the wonderful things he's done, you know. Look at all the great things he's done, so therefore he's deserving of this stuff. No, you're deserving of it. You're in the same covenant. It's about covenant. Are you sitting on a different seat in heavenly places? I mean, you know, maybe there's other thrones, and there's thrones at Jesus' feet. There's ones, you know, at his seat and on his seat. Last I heard, I was sitting on the same throne he was. See, most people sit on some other throne. It's always a lower. It's always a lesser. Jesus told these people, I'm going to prove to you I have the power to forgive sin. I'm going to heal. It's never changed with God. Healing has always been the thing of the proof of God's willingness to forgive people. He proves it through it. He said, if any are sick, well, we know he's dealing with people with sin because of what he says later on. If any sick, call on the elders of the church that they'll anoint you with the oil. The prayer of faith to heal the sick, the Lord will raise them up. If they've committed any sin, it'll be forgiven. What did he put on there first? He put healing first. Why? So the person would know he had forgiven his sin. That's why it's labeled. That's why he did it like that. Why? That's why it was. It's following suit of covenant. It's following suit. Do you know what? Why did Jesus go around and heal all those Jews and go around and heal all the Jews? He's going to be the Savior of the world. He's going to forgive their sin. He's healing them to prove to them he can forgive. He'll forgive their sin. He's going to be their Redeemer. Well, why wouldn't you do that over? You know, does it quit? He heals to prove he's the Redeemer. His goodness, his mercy to people, his kindness, that's why he does it. He forgives sin. And he wants to prove it to people. And how? What's the proof of it? He heals people. He's a healer. Jesus Christ is a healer. Anybody looks at him, you can't. I can't see Jesus. I can't identify with a Jesus that don't heal. I just can't. It's like, to me, it's like, what's the purpose? What is it? I have hope of the life to come. You know why? It ain't because the Bible just says so. The Bible can say it, but if God treats me rotten here, I probably ain't going to believe it. His goodness to me here is what holds me fast to believe of his goodness to come. There's nobody, that's why so many Christians, when even another Christian dies in their family, they act like God died. They act like man ain't, well, what's going to happen? You'd think the person went to hell the way they wail, and then, you know, 5 years later, they're still wailing over the fact that the person's gone, and oh, Lord. They don't act like they went to heaven. Why? Because they don't live in a life here now that God takes care of you. And they have a hard time believing what the Bible says about the goodness of going to the other side. I know how good God is over on this side, and I know, man, it's going to be better on the other side. Dear Lord, let's go there. And that's what it is. The Holy Spirit was given to you to manifest God's goodness in you here so you would have confidence. The Bible calls the Holy Ghost a guarantee. No, it's a guarantee here. It's the Holy Ghost and what He does for you on this side is a guarantee of the goodness on the other side. If you don't know about the goodness over on this side, you ain't going to be able to believe there's any goodness over there. You might tell people, oh, going to heaven's going to be nice, but I'll tell you, when your death day comes, you're going to be begging to have physical life. You're going to be scared to go. You won't believe what the Bible says. The goodness of God on this side is why we look over on the other side and say, praise God, we get over there, it's going to be good. Why? I believe what the Word says. I believe what the Word says. Hallelujah. It's going to be good. See, what God does for us is what inspires us to believe. If Jesus wanted to be accepted by men, He had to prove His mercy to men. If He wanted to be known as the forgiver of sin, He became the healer of men so men would know that He would forgive them. Hallelujah. You know, if you went to a regular doctor and you knew that he would do everything he could to get you well and he'd get you back on your feet again and going and help you out, the next time you got sick, if you wanted to see a doctor, would you look for another one? No, what would you do? You'd look for the guy who did good to you, wouldn't you? The guy who did good, that's who you'd look to. It ain't crazy. You know? What do businesses do out here? Businesses go out here, you know what they do? They want a new customer, so they offer a great deal to a new customer. Now remember, God's not like these businesses. He don't suck you in with a good offer and then never give it to you again once you get in. He's not like these companies that turn around, look, hey, we'll give you 50% off when you get in, but once you're in, they won't give you a deal at all. Then you get nothing. You can be with them 30 years and they still won't give you anything. That ain't God. Hallelujah. God runs. God has coupons and they're out all the time. You can always use a coupon. You can always got a good. Whenever a good deal comes out, it's for everybody. It always is. It don't change. It does not change. Why? Why do they use those good things to get people in? They do those things. Why? To get people to come into them. God does good things to get. Anybody could tell you, all I heard when I was a kid, how much God loved people and all the good, all God loves you, blah, blah, blah. I never believed, as I got older, I never believed a lick of it. I never believed God loved me. I couldn't believe it because every bad thing that happened, they told me He did it. He was always killing people, He was always doing stuff, and then telling me He loved me. The thing that turned me around with God was I was given a book by Kenneth Hagin, and I read that book and all the good things God do for you. And I said this, I could serve a God like that. I didn't grow up in a church that had any books like that. Oh, they said God loved, oh, and how wonderful He was. But every ugly thing that happened to humanity, He was doing it. And so, what did it do to me? Did I want to follow Him? You know, if I was in church I was in and you'd tell them, say, I want to be a devil worshiper, they would have thrown a fit. Well, you know what? Whether they worshiped a God that was much like the devil. But they'd have thrown a fit. If you'd have said, well, why? Why? Well, their God was like a devil. He only did bad things to people. He was always out to get them. When I saw the goodness of God, when I saw how good God was, I wanted Him. When I found out all that junk was going on out there, it wasn't God. See, God does good to get people in. And you know how He keeps you in? Keeps doing good. That's right. He does good. See, it doesn't change. And so we need to, as believers, to get a hold of that and believe that. is God's good. In laying down this foundation, be convinced totally that it's God's will for all to be healed. That's the plan of God. God wants people well. God, you know, with Israel, under their covenant, Deuteronomy 28, he told them, look, if you do what the Word says, all these blessings will overtake you. All these things, they would overtake you. Why? By doing the Word of God. How could that change? How can the new covenant, you do the Word of God and you don't get nothing? I mean, it's totally ludicrous. I mean, it's total insanity. God is so good. Be convinced that God wants everybody well. Get that in yourself. You'll see people. That's why I said, if I look at people with sickness and disease, I think, man, I hate to see it. I hate to see that. Why? Because it's not the will of God. I can look at a sinner. I can look at a pagan sinner who's sick, and I feel bad for them, because it's like, men ain't supposed to have that. They aren't supposed to be in that dilemma. That's not the way people are supposed to be. They're supposed to be well. They're supposed to be sound. That's what they're supposed to be. I don't look at a foul sinner and say, oh, yeah, well, they ought to go to hell, I'll tell you. they couldn't be saved, that backslidden, that buzzard. He's so bad off, God could never save an ugly thing like that. We don't think in anything like that way. At least we shouldn't. I mean, I'm sure there are probably some people who are that stupid. But we wouldn't think that way. And so... Because if you look at people that way, I'll guarantee it's going to happen to you. You're going to mess up and you're going to say, well, God won't heal me. You don't know what I've done. You know how many times I've heard people tell me that, but you don't know what I've done. And I'd say, don't bother telling me. You don't have to. The Bible says you confess your sin, God will forgive you. Talk to Him about that. I don't need to hear it. He'll forgive you. I've done it. I have prayed for people already. And because of their ignorance, they didn't know it was God's will to heal them. And they thought that they were, God wouldn't forgive them. Christians thought they had done things wrong and God wouldn't forgive them. And I told them, I said, I'm going to prove it to you. I said, I'm going to pray for you and you're going to get healed. I'm going to prove for you God will forgive you. And I prayed for them and they got healed. They came back to me and said, yeah, you know, I ain't problem anymore with that. I said, yeah, He's a forgiving God, is He? Yeah, He is. He forgives. Yeah, He don't hold against you. That's right, He don't hold against you. You see, they were in a condition because they're ignorant. They didn't know. I'll tell you what, don't stay ignorant, because I'm sure they were sick a lot longer than they wanted to be. Don't get yourself over in there. I messed up so much, because the devil will carry you there. He'll try to get you over the area and say, well, you know, you just messed up too many times. You've had all these opportunities to get straightened out and you didn't. You've done all this stuff. Well, you awful, awful, awful thing. You need to get over there. You might have. I don't care how terrible it may have sounded or what you did. God will forgive you and heal you. I don't believe it changes. I have never seen nothing from a scriptural standpoint that proved that it did. I know there will be a day come that the door gets closed on some things. But that day didn't happen yet. The church ain't left. Hallelujah, we're still healed. And while we're here, one of our number one ministries is the ministry of healing. Healing should be in the forefront of every ministry in the world. Should be in the forefront of it. Healing should be, it's always a proof of God's goodness and mercy to people. When I found out God's mercy in the areas of healing, it changed my aspect of a lot of areas about God. Of how I perceived Him. When I found out that God wanted me well, that was a happy day. I mean, think about it, Mary. Think of how many problems in our nation would be resolved if everybody got healed. Think of that. I mean, financially, we'd have so much money, it'd be insane. Because nobody could ever say, I can't go to work because I'm sick. Nobody. No, but you think about it. Everybody's. Well, you realize how many people out here that do work, and I mean, they work in pain all the time. They're in pain going to work every day, and they're working, and life ain't easy for them. What it would solve, all the money that they spend. Do you realize how much more employers could pay people if they didn't have to buy insurance? You know, if you get an employer who's paying insurance. If he didn't have to pay for your insurance, he'd give you $2 an hour raise, he'd still have more money in his pocket He could probably, you know, today, the way it's going, if you have a decent insurance, they could probably give you about a $10 an hour raise. There's businesses that do that. They make, and then, you know, if you don't have insurance, they'll pay, if you they don't pay for your insurance, they'll, you know, you don't have to insurance. Some of them do this. Like, say, if you already have one partner that has an insurance and you're working and you don't need to have yours, they'll pay you more money because you don't have, they don't have to pay you insurance. They pay you more money. That means more money in your pocket to pay you to do the stuff you want to do instead of giving it to insurance company. Now think about that. All the money that would be available out here. I mean, individuals. I'm not talking about just government. I'm talking about individuals, what they're putting out. Individuals. All this money. Then you go government. Oh my God. The huge amount of monies that we're putting out, our government, taken out of us in taxes. Just think how much tax, less tax money they'd need. It'd be phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. We could straighten out the debt of America in a couple years. Straighten the whole thing right out. And you know what? God would love to do that. God would love to do that. It's one of the things, I totally believe this, I believe here in the end times, if we're going to believe, if we're going to see an end time revival, the church is going to have to bring the healing ministry back to the forefront again. We'll have to bring it back. Most of the major ministries on TV are money. So they're money. Most of them are money. Believe in God finances. Believe in God finances. I'm sorry, that's not going to bring revival. It never has. Never has brought revival. Financial prosperity came out of revivals, but it wasn't what causes revivals. It never causes. Financial prosperity, if it's put to the forefront, it will cause greed. It will cause all kinds of stuff. It will cause. But we need to come back to healing and bringing healing to the forefront. So, really, it's obligation of our own lives. Bring healing back to the forefront of your own life. That's how you do it. You bring it back. You're dealing with the areas of your life, wherever you have medical problems. Don't get into condemnation. Get over into faith with God. Praise God. Always talk about God. I want you to thank you. You're in the business of healing me. You're not in the business of making me sick or holding things against me. You're working to bring health to pass in me. That's what you're doing. That's your ministry. That's what you do. That is in redemption. Healing is mine. It belongs to me. Just like when I go down to the bank and money that Wanda and I have in the bank, that belongs to us. Either of us can go down there and get that out. Healing belongs to me. I'm not trying to get something from God that is only His possession, and I'm trying to get Him to give His possession to me. That possession that He had was already given to everybody 2,000 years ago. And when you got born again, it was already deposited on your account. If you're going to have healing, you're going to have to go get it yourself. You don't have to go to God for it because it's already yours. It's yours. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God is in the business to helping you get it. He's not the teller on the other side saying, nope, no, you can't have it yet. No, you need to stay sick longer for a reason. You need to suffer a little bit more for a reason. No, God's the teller on the other side and said, He said, I've been waiting for you to come and get this. Where have you been? Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I just want to thank you this morning for healing. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're so wonderful to us. It is marvelous, Jesus, the fact that you took our sin on the cross and you redeemed us, hallelujah, from sin. And you forgave us of all of our iniquity. We became children of God. But Jesus, you stepped far beyond that. You took our infirmities and you bore our sicknesses so we don't have to bear them. You planned for us a good life in this earth of taking care of us and supplying our needs. And I just want to thank you for it, Jesus, for being so good. And Jesus, I just pray, Father God, that in Jesus' wonderful name, Father God, I pray to open up the eyes of the understanding of believers. that they might see and understand the glory and power of the Word of God. Lord God, that they can see Your gracious healing power and delivering power that's in Christ Jesus. Father God, that they would quit holding back from it, but they would step forward and take it in the name of Jesus, so we can carry this glory to the world. Hallelujah. So many can hear of the goodness of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank You, Father God. Thank You for showing us the richness of these things in Your Word. And Father, we just give You glory and praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.